الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. If you look at the last surahs of the Quran, there is a certain theme that arises. And many of the surahs actually focus, with some exceptions, but by and large they focus on different favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred on His Nabi. So for example, إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْهَرَ إِنَّ شَانِيَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرَ, so on and so forth. And it's, oftentimes you'll see many surahs are also directly addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. One of the surahs where it's also very patently clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of many of the favors upon him is Surah Inshirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Did we not open your chest? And some of the ulama actually say that this is the actual sharhi sadr, the physical opening of the chest that occurred to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other people say that no, it's rather a spiritual opening that occurred, that even though when he had his tawajjuh directed towards the people, he was attentive towards the people, it didn't cause any diminution in his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning his chest was so expansive that he could simultaneously be completely connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yet at the same time deal with the realities of everyday life. كَانَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ أَحْيَانِهِ. He used to always be attentive towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually in suluk, that's something that occurs in the later lessons that they talk about, شَرْحْ وُسْعَةْ فِي الصَّدَرْ, that there's for, and as you keep on going, one of the ahwal that arise is literally this, it's just sharhi sadr. You get more wus'ah, and something, basically, you just experience it. But in any case, أَلَّمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, so on and so forth. All of that is being said. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ. That definitely, with hardship, there is ease. With hardship, there is ease. Now, in Arabic, it's not just hardship. It's with the hardship. So if I tell you, if I come to you, and I say, you know, brother so-and-so, can you bring me the book? When I say, can you bring me the book, that obviously it refers to something that me and you already knew what we were talking about. Maybe we were talking about the book, a particular book right before this in our conversation, and say, oh, come go and bring me the book. So that means that there's an ahd. It's what in balagha they call it, ahd khariji. That there is some type of antecedent, some type of entity that exists outside of the conversation that is being referred to. Now if you look at the principle of linguistics, so what this is referring to is that inna ma'al usri, with the hardship. So all the hardship and trials and tribulations that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to be afflicted with was completely known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was a set amount. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying that there would be ease after that. So it was a way of giving a lot of himma, a lot of encouragement, a lot of courage to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, filling him up with hope so that he could carry on with his mission, because he knew that there was going to be ease after whatever hardship he was going to face. And whatever hardship he was going to face was a set amount, but after that there was a light on the other side of the tunnel. But this verse doesn't only apply to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It actually highlights a universal principle. And to understand the universal principle, you have to understand a little bit of linguistics in Arabic. The first linguistic principle that that is necessary to understand this is that when you use a word that's ma'rifa, that is a definite, has a definite article associated with it. For example, al is with the word. Now, there's different ways to do ta'rif. There's actually 7 different ways in the Arabic language that you can do ta'rif. This is one of them. And it's not the most definitive, but it is a pretty definitive way to make something definite. And what I mean by definite and not definite means, for example, if I say a book, right? A is considered an indefinite article in the English language, a or an. So if I say a book or an apple, it could be any apple. You just don't have any idea. It's not something which is specified. But if I say the apple or I say the book, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's something specific. So it adds a degree of ta'yin. It adds a degree of specificity when you make something ma'rifa. Now, if something in a sentence is mentioned with a definite article, meaning you say the something, if you repeat it and you use al with it again, then basically the principle is that it's referring to the same thing. It's not referring to a new thing. So if I say bring me the book, so the book is referring to that same one book that I was referring to before. So in the Arabic, in the translation, it doesn't come through. But if you look at the Arabic, the inna ma'al is al usri, yusran. Yusra is indefinite. So the ease is indefinite, and al usr is definite. So inna ma'al usri yusra. So indeed, with the difficulty comes an ease. Right, that's one. One ease came with the difficulty. Then inna ma'al usri yusra again. So that al usr is not a new usr that's coming. It's the same usr that was referred to earlier. But the yusra that came after that, that's not definite. It's yusra. There's no al alif lam on it, meaning that there's another ease that comes after it. So inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. And so what we derive from that is that with every difficulty actually comes two eases. Now, this is not to be taken necessarily literally, that if you have some difficulty, you'll get twice as much ease. It doesn't work quantitatively like that. What it means is that with every difficulty, a person will get manifold ease, a lot more ease than they had difficulty. That's for sure. And when this was revealed, I believe it comes in hadith that Rasulullah ﷺ, he was very happy one day and he came out. And he said, and you know, we talk about all these linguistic principles, but if you were inherently Arab and you understood the lugha, they immediately got it. You know, so Rasulullah said, definitely one, if I'm not mistaken, one hardship will not overcome two eases. Meaning the eases are going to outstrip the hardship. So that was even understood in that context. So that's one thing, that no matter whenever we're in difficult times, there is always going to be light at the other side of the tunnel. Always a light at the other side of the tunnel. Now, sometimes people have such a bleak perspective and such a depressed perspective on life that they say that they don't expect things to get better in their life. So they say, oh, it's only going to happen in the akhirah. So then they start wishing for death. Right? No person, the general principle is that Islamically a person should never wish for death. Person should never wish for death, because as long as a person has life, a person can wish to die in the way of Allah, that's different. You're making dua for that. But to actually wish for death to come on a person right now is not something which is commendable in the deen. And for people, sometimes they say, they feel like they're being very pious by asking for death. They say, look, I'm not afraid of death. And that brazenness is oftentimes is a sign of stupidity. Because it's based on, or posited on the idea that they've done enough good deeds that they're ready to meet Allah. As much life as a person has, that's that many opportunities that a person has to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And unless a person is completely satisfied that their Lord is pleased with them, radiyatan mardiyah, and they have nafsan mutmainna, then we should always be looking for opportunities. Now, a person may say that, well, I have no hope in myself that I'll ever change. I'm just going to keep on digging myself deeper with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's again, a person's making a fatal mistake in terms of their psychology when they think about things like that. Why? Because we don't look at ourselves to be agents of change in our own lives. We look at the hidayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we look at the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can say that I have not earned the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 20 years of my life, but at least I have another day that I can beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His hidayah can come, and His tawfiq can come, and I can get istiqamah. It's another chance. It's like a person who's failed a test, you know, three times, and the person says, you can't take the test again. They're like, just give. In the world, we're always looking for another chance. Give me another chance, I'll make it. Because we have a positive outlook on it. We should similarly have a positive outlook on our deen. Not necessarily investing in our own capabilities, but investing in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can start raining down at us at any single moment in time. So we don't ask for death because we just don't know, generally because we just don't know what our position is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we look at additional time as opportunities to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one thing. The second thing that we already mentioned was that when you're in these times of difficulty, a person should never become despondent, because they should already know automatically that whatever difficulty I am, that is a set amount of difficulty and there is some type of ease coming on the other side. Now when you think about that, imagine how much hope that gives. Even though when the whole world feels like you're crashing down on you. For example, what if you, any one of us, was a young child in Gaza or a young child in, you know, Sham, and you're being shelled, or you know there's there's shrapnel flying all around you, and you've already lost one parent, and it feels that you know this is hell that will never end, but you know that it will end. You know it's finite, and you know that things will get better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is assuring us that things do get better. And that's powerful, right? Because it allows anyone to rise up from the ashes, no matter how bad your situation is. And you can apply this to even the most mundane things. If you have a hard day at work, just remind yourselves, إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. You have a hard time with your wife, just remind yourselves, إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Mother has a hard time with the kids one day, you just remind yourselves, إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So that's one main take-home point. The second take-home point is a little bit more subtle. And that's when we're afflicted with these type of usr, some types of hard times. People, since they know there's light at the other end, at the other side of the tunnel, they are always impatiently waiting for to traverse this and to get on the other side. Right? Somehow, that you know that there's a difficulty, and you're like, how do I get on the other side? And you're just waiting that for the ride, so to speak, to be over. But that's not always wise. Not to say that a person necessarily enjoys difficulty. But the idea is that when you're in difficulty, sometimes people become so fixated on the yusr coming, they miss the advantage, they miss taking advantage of the usr. Now a person might think, how do you take advantage of usr? So for example, if a person's wife is giving them a hard time, or their father is a huge tyrant and always giving them a hard, is like a wabal for the entire family. Or, you know, a mother has a child who thinks that this child is like, you know, it's not mine, it's Satan's or something. I mean, how do you make good out of that? Even in that is the rahmah of Allah. And the way that is that when we're in difficult times, people are patient. We're forced to be patient. You don't have a choice. And when you're patient, you have the ma'iyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are patient. You can't buy that with your ibadah. You can't buy that with anything. That ma'iyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it only comes because for a person to be with another, it's not up to you who is going to be with you. It's up to the other person whether they want to be with you or not. Right? In relationships, in the West, say a person wants to hook up with someone else, it's not up to them whether that person will hook up with them. The other person has to make that choice, and that's something that you have no control over. If there's a rishta going, right? You have no choice, you have no control whether or not the other side is going to accept the proposal for marriage. But if the other person, right, comes and says that in this particular situation, I will be with you, then that's huge. In that situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will be with those, He is with those who are sabir. And you can't do sabr in yusr. You can't, you don't have the opportunity to be patient if times are going good. You only have the opportunity if times are tough. So when times are tough, sometimes we shouldn't necessarily be in such, I mean, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the difficulty away from the Muslimin, so on and so forth. But we should also find the silver lining in that cloud and take advantage of that. So while, yes, it's terrible that any of our brothers and sisters are suffering in Syria, but for them, all is not bleak. Number one, because we know that there's light on the other side, but even when they're in that situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping them. Now this is a chance where they can just speak directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, I mentioned it this the other day after Fajr, that I remember this, and a family member who was a sister, the sister was going through a very difficult time. She said it's probably the most difficult time in her life. And she said, but one thing, I remember that, you know, I was so close to Allah, and in that time, whatever I asked, He would answer. Right? I mean, you can become mustajab with da'wat. That is very powerful. And that is something that we very quickly gloss over, because we're so fixated on trying to fix our problems, right? That how do I make this go away, right? How do I make my kids right? How do I make the world right? How do I make, you know, everything else right? But we miss the fact that in this time of difficulty is a chance to make ourselves right. Right? We can say, Ya Allah, do my islah. Ya Allah, take out the love of the dunya from my heart. Ya Allah, you know, this is a spiritual disease I've been having difficulty with. I'm in a situation of difficulty. As you will remove this difficulty, also remove the difficulty of my amradul qulub, right? The diseases of my heart. There's all these du'as of munasabah that we can make from that time. And Allah does respond. And you feel it too. When times are tough, it's very easy to cry. And I'll tell you, other times, even if you come to religious gatherings, you know, big sheikh is talking, this and that, you try to force yourself to cry, you can't cry. Why is it so easy to cry when times are tough? Because a person has become emotionally soft, number one. But it's that ma'iyah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so close, that very easily a person can go into spiritual, right, and develop that uns with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was the second take-home point. Which was that when we're in times of difficulty, it's not that necessarily we're supposed to sort of wallow in our difficulties. Of course, we can work towards positive change in the world around us. But in the hurry to do that, we shouldn't miss these opportunities to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to rectify our own selves. Which means, so how do you do that when you're in that time of difficulty? Increasing yourself in salah, increasing yourself in dhikr, and particularly increasing in dua. Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah. That dua is the very core of ibadah. And the reason that's important is, what is ibadah? Ibadah is a person's way of communicating with Allah. And there's no way that you can actualize that in a more real way than in your dua. Dua is not something that you just kick, you know, and just throw off your tongue. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَلْ مِنَّا سَمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. You know, it's just something that you just read. That's not, I mean, that's dua, but dua is that thing that comes from the heart. That's why our Shaykh would say that when you're making tawaf, he said you can read duas from a book, but the best duas are the ones that you read from your heart. You just have to read your heart. When your heart is hurting and no one knows your pain except for you, no one knows why you're hurting that way except for you, and you can't share it with anyone else. So many sisters go through so many problems, no one understands them except themselves and Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only person who understands them. He's the only one who's listening. He's the only one who can talk to, but people don't take the opportunity to talk. So you just have to reach out and talk, and He will listen. And you will see we see those effects in our lives. So just to recap from today, we talked about in Surah Inshirah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna ma'al usri yusra, and how that, linguistically, that means that with every difficulty there are two eases. So the practical lesson for that in our lives is that no matter how bad things ever get, we should always understand that there's light at the other side, or light at the end of the tunnel. And so no matter how bad situations are, even if a person's getting in the worst situations in the world, there's always hope. There's always hope. There's always hope. Number one. And number two, that when a person gets in that situation, a person should long for death, because at every situation, when every single day that we have and every single minute we have is another opportunity. And I'll tell you, one thing that just came to mind is that that type of difficulty also sometimes is tathir. Right? It's sometimes a person cannot reach the status of qa'imul layl wa sa'imul nahar. You're fasting all day and standing in the nights. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, this guy, he's not going to make it through this spiritual path and doing his dhikr, because he just doesn't have enough istiqama. I'll just give him some difficulty. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate the situation of a person. So don't think that we're so righteous if we're getting up for tahajjud, because I'll tell you, a person who might not have done much ibadah but is in severe difficulty somewhere else in the world has a much higher position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped everything out. Right? He wiped out all the sins on the basis of the difficulty they have. We just don't know who's at what situation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly tests those whom He loves. And this is one reason. That it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're not strong enough to walk, so I'll just carry you. And He just carries us. And if we happen to be in that situation, then we have to see that silver lining. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purifying us, number one. And number two, He's giving us His ma'iyah for free. So, and it's so that's why it's so beautiful being a believer, because for us the situation is always good. Whether it's good on the surface or it's bad on the surface, in reality for us, it's always good. The only time it's not good is when we do evil with our own hands and disobey our Lord. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who are able to do sabr, or are able to, that He protects us from difficulties in our life, but if it is muqaddar for us, then He allows us to look at it with the right perspective and to try to take advantage of that. وَأَخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
How do you know if the difficulty is to alleviate you or is it as a punishment?
It's a very good question. The question was, how do you know when a difficulty comes, if it's to elevate a person or it's because a punishment for one's past misdeeds? ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. As it comes in one ayah, another ayah, وَمَن يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. These are the verses which substantiate that when something bad happens, it can actually happen because a person's misdeeds. If a person has a mouthy wife, the person should not say, why is my wife so mouthy? He has to look the day before that if his eyes were looking at the wrong thing at work. This is the jaza for that. The way that the ulama, or the way it's been written in the books, is that a person should see when the difficulty comes, what is the response of the individual to that in their life. If it draws them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminds them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, resets them in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increases them in their ibadah, then they should see that as a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is choosing to purify them. If it creates such type of anxiety, then now they're not able to come to the masjid, they're not able to do their regular ibadah, they're not it's taking them further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's a sign that it's from our person's own misdeeds.